I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You better you bet on your Monday Independence Day. Adam Candy sitting in for Nick and Ken alongside Jeremy Kahn. I'm out in Vegas. He's in Baltimore. Nationwide here on the Odyssey Network. BetQL is available on Twitch as well. twitch.tv/BetQL if you want to get a visual to go along with your audio broadcast here. Talking NBA with Jeremy, a big Mavs fan. I could talk about him being a Mavs fan and let him get excited about things. I'm a Knicks fan. I just kind of sit around and hope for high draft picks and good lottery outcomes. It's really all I can let myself get into anymore. We spent a little while going down the board with MVP, and I think the key takeaway with that is just being able to suss out relative value in some of the markets, not just which player we think, you know, is the best player on the board. Talking about Jason Tatum being 13-1 versus Jaylen Brown being 130-1. We might not have as many touch points to be able to do that sort of thing, Jeremy, when it comes to Rookie of the Year. But what we do have in terms of Rookie of the Year is a year in which there is no clear number one player. And if you are someone who followed the drama at all around the movement on Paolo Banchero and Jabari Smith in the last 24 hours before the NBA draft went, you understand just how fluid the whole thing is in terms of the top of the board. This wasn't really a year that had a LeBron James level player. Now, I think it's well reflected in the odds for NBA Rookie of the Year. So we see Banchero, who was the number one pick to the Orlando Magic here, at plus 360. Jabari Smith goes third. He's plus 400. Chet Holmgren at 5-1. We mentioned him with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Jaden Ivey at 6. Keegan Murray 11, along with Ben Mathurin. And you get a little longer down the board from there. Who do you think, beyond the market here, Jeremy, we'll get to the numbers, who do you think of these rookies is going to have the best rookie season?
It's hard for me to get away from Jaden Ivey. I just loved watching him play at the collegiate level. He reminds me a ton of Ja Morant, and I'm not saying he's going to be Ja Morant, but I think he's incredibly talented. Banchero and the rest of these guys that we've talked about, sometimes it's just a matter of the right fit and getting an opportunity. Like, Cade Cunningham started off slow last year, and then we started to see what he was supposed to be, you know, putting up numbers across the board with the assists, rebounds, and scoring. So is there a guy in this group that can do that? I wonder about a guy like Chet Holmgren. I think it takes him a while to kind of get going. Maybe he does come in right away and put up numbers because he's on a team that, let's be honest, I don't think there's high expectations for him. So he's going to be given every opportunity to go out there and prove that he can or can't do it. But Ivy's a guy to me that I think can come into this league and has no fear. And with the odds there, he's a guy I'd like to place a wager on.
Jaden Ivey, it's 6-1 for Rookie of the Year. And Jeremy, some of these things probably sound scripted, like we talked about them before the show, but I was doing a show here in Vegas before the draft, and someone said to me, all right, Adam, well, who would you take with the number one pick? And the answer that they gave me when I gave my response was, wow, because I said Jaden Ivey, because there's something in that skill set that is different to me. I know he's smaller. I know he's going to have more trouble getting off his shot at the NBA level, like anyone at his size going in has to work his way through. But there is freakish athleticism and playmaking ability there in a way that does not exist in anyone other than Holmgren. And Holmgren's physical limits, even as a seven-footer, are way more noticeable than those of Jaden Ivey. And so when I think to myself, 3-4 years from now, who's going to be the best player out of this group? You could give me Jaden Ivey even money on that. I would feel about right. Right. Like Jaden Ivey, I think has the opportunity to do that. Yeah. I know Jabari Smith is great. But when it comes to this market, Jeremy, now we look at who's going to potentially be the rookie of the year. We have to have opportunity for stats. We have to have opportunity for the ball in your hands, right? So you just talked about Chet Holmgren, the fact that it might take a while, but there aren't a lot of expectations. Now talking about who do you think is going to be in a good situation to win Rookie of the Year?
I guess the big question is, why didn't we talk about Benedict being the MVP? He's already stated that he thinks he's the best player coming in, and LeBron's got to prove it to him, right? That he's better than him. Maybe that's a guy you look at. But no, I do think when you look at the top four, I'd be interested in Jabari Smith. Banchero is another one. But again, the odds aren't great. But for Rookie of the Year, I don't think they ever are. Outside of I brought up Donovan Mitchell, which that came out of nowhere, how good he looked that year. I think you're probably going to look at one of these guys in the top. And then, again, if somebody starts to show you something early on, you can buy odds a little bit later as they come up, and maybe they wouldn't be as big of a long shot. But I'm still staying with Ivy. I thought he was the most talented guy coming into the draft. I'm not telling you he ends up – I understand why you would look at size and why you would look at some of the other things. I just think the kid's special. So he was the guy that I would look at 6-1. I don't know that any of the other guys are really jumping out at me as something I'd say, hey, I have to place a wager on this guy. But to be honest, I don't bet a ton of Rookie of the Years unless I feel really, really good about somebody coming in or if I find great value.
Honestly, there's only one name among these that I like where the price matches up to what I think is talent and opportunity. Keegan Murray is going to fill up the basket in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And I look at him similarly to Jaden Ivey in this way, not in terms of their games, but when you're in the Big Ten and you spend most of your college career in 58 to 55 rock fights, the shackles come off when you get to the NBA and you get to really show your playmaking skill. And Keegan Murray's going to a situation in Sacramento where, again, there are not high expectations on that team. And I think the way they've constructed it, Jeremy, we talked a little bit about this earlier. It's defense? What do you mean defense? We don't care about defense. I think they're going to go out there and try to outscore every other team that they go against. Now, the obvious thing with Keegan Murray is he going to have the ball in his hands enough at a team that has De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis? Well, you're also going to talk health with these guys as well. And those are not guys who have super long track records of being able to stay on the floor for 82 games. So that's the one that jumps out at me, because the four shorter guys than that, again, as much as I love Jaden Ivey, again, ball questions for me with Cade Cunningham being there at 6-1. I love him. And mm-hmm. Like I said to you earlier, I think he's a player who might well be the best player in this draft in the long run. In terms of this year, though, I do have questions about all of these guys and how much the ball is going to be in their hands.
Yeah, I brought up fit, and fit is, I mean, that's key. Like, we looked at the trade earlier from DeJounte Murray and Trae Young. How does that work out? You mentioned this with Ivy, too. I mean, we have to look at some of these things. But I love the fact that teams are no longer doing, if we go back to the Jordan draft, right, where it's like, hey, we don't need another guard. We need a big man. Okay, well then take Sam Bowie as things worked out. You know, you just take the best players, because now the NBA is showing you that, I'm not saying it's a positionless league, but we're seeing more and more of guys like Jason Tatum playing the four and being asked to play, you know, even sometimes bigger than that against some of the guys he's going up against. Or, you know, you got guys like Draymond Green that proved that he can play that. What do we see with the Chet Holmgren, a seven-footer that can handle the ball and attack the basket the way he does? So I guess sky's the limit for some of these guys, but maybe right fit with this year's class might be more important than actual talent.
From a Rookie of the Year to a market that I think is probably a little bit tougher to handicap, but I think is really interesting to talk about, especially with where some of the guys who were favorites last year are falling right now, and that's NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Won by Marcus Smart last year, as we know, the first time a guard had won since Gary Payton. And I think the odds reflect the fact that this is a big man dominant award, and I'll run down some of the top ones here with you. Rudy Gobert, of course, a multiple-time DPOY guy, 6.5-1. Bam Adebayo at 7. The Time Lord, Robert Williams at 9, along with Giannis. Draymond Green at 9.5, along with Marcus Smart. Anthony Davis, 13. Mikal Bridges at 14. And then Joel Embiid, 24. Drew Holiday, 27. Miles Turner, 27. Ben Simmons, 27. And I'm not going to get down to the line below that because there are actually two guys I really like on the line below that. We'll save that for a little bit later.
Okay.
But looking at this market, how are you going about trying to figure out who would be defensive player of the year? Are you looking for a team that's really good defensively and saying, okay, who's the best player at the top of that defense? Are you looking more at saying, okay, here's a guy who I think is really going to be able just to rack up stats, right? Like, is it a blocks award essentially for a guy like Rudy Gobert?
I feel like a lot of times that comes up. It's the stocks, if you will, the steals and blocks and seeing what happens there as opposed to watching what a guy individually does, because I've made the case for years that I think Drew Holiday is the best on-ball defender. And the reason I believe that is I watch him consistently go up against great guards in this league, and he doesn't shut them down, but he makes life difficult. And I remember Damian Lillard talking about Drew Holiday saying, look, that's a frustrating cover to have on you anytime he's on you. So he's a guy I always like, but as these guys get older, it does make you wonder when the skills start to erode. So, but I think you have to look at some of the bigs because it's been a big man's award. And look at those blocks. One of the guys you mentioned, I think both you and I are bullish on, are Robert Williams. If he plays a full season, that award could slide right over from Marcus Smart to his teammate. He's an interesting guy. I don't know about Rudy Gobert bringing him back up in Minnesota. I have no idea what that's going to look like until we actually get to see get our eyes on it. But the guys that I would start eliminating from who I would bet on are the often injured guys. It makes it difficult to place a wager on a Draymond Green, even though he could easily win that award every single year. He does miss some time consistently. Same thing we talked about Joel Embiid and that bone that he has in his face that I'm not going to try to say. But, you know, all these things, I think that's something you really do have to take into consideration, right? Because to win that award, you got to be present. Bam Adebayo is another guy that's so undervalued for his defensive ability, and another big that can switch and play guards, and he plays them so well. So he's a guy that I'd be interested in betting on.
Well, if we talk about making it a blocks award, right? Jaren Jackson Jr. led the league in blocks last year, and it wasn't by a small margin. He led the league in blocks by 40 last year, and Jaren Jackson Jr. playing for a Memphis team that's going to get plenty of hype is 36-1. You know who also was a blocks machine last year? He's a rookie. Evan Mobley finished 8th in the league in blocks next year. Do you believe there's another level there for Evan Mobley? I do. He's 36-1. Just take a small sample and look to the playoffs to a team that you and I have talked about plenty on this show already, Jeremy. You know who was the breakout defensive star of the playoffs for as long as he was there? Herb Jones. Herb Jones is 65-1 for the New Orleans Pelicans. Like, Herb Jones is out there blocking three-pointers on the regular. Like, that's a guy who is going to take a big step up this year. So, look, it's obvious that some of these guys are longer shots than others. But with a market like Defensive Player of the Year, where I think it's possible for players to emerge out of nowhere, I think it's worth looking and saying, okay, who didn't maybe get the recognition that they should have from years past? This is where we go from a pretty strong show to a powerful show. The Power Hour is on the other side. Here is Jeremy and I. Talk through what's left of the slate here today. A little bit of baseball still going on as well. You're locked in on You Better You Bet here on BetQL.